Okay. So yesterday we spoke a little bit about Bechira. What? We spoke about Bechira. We saw the Yerushalmi. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu tried to take the Luchos away from Moshe. Eli, what are you doing there?
My chavrus is not coming in, so I'm going to learn with him at 10 o'clock.
Okay.
He's in England.
The Seder. I'll get my chavrus to go away, and then I can also stay at home. All right. I don't have a chavrus. All right. We saw the Yerushalmi. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tried to take away the Luchos. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't allow. He took it. He broke it. The marshal we brought to try and understand that was the king who married this peasant girl. She was proving to herself that she really had that koyach, and we can say the same thing about Klal Yisrael b'cheta egel. Not that that's why they did it, but we see from there the enormous koyach of Bechira. Now let's take this one step further, because it's subtle, but it's critical, because if you leave the story there, it doesn't make any sense. Cheta egel wasn't correct either, of course. And that we'll see now when we see what Moshe Rabbeinu took away from the story. You'll see. The takeaway from the story is not do a Cheta Egel to prove you have Bechira. But you see from the Cheta Egel you have Bechira. How much Bechira? At Kadeh you can do the Cheta Egel. So use your Bechira for the good. That's the message. Let's see. We'll get there. Okay, good. Dashkach for reminding me. Yeah. We'll come back to that. It's a little kashur to this, but it's just to be Donnekapschus a little bit in the Cheta Egel. Just while we, yeah, it's a nice time to just get an insight. All right, let's come back to that page. This is important. The bottom of Ein Zayin. Miasha shel Cheta Egel, Hevin Moshe Rabbeinu, Kim Kol Godlu Koyach HaBechira Chofshis. From the mice of the Cheta Egel, Moshe Rabbeinu was able to understand how great the Koyach of Bechira is. You can go against Hashem. That's the miracle of Bechira, that you can go against the Rotzon Hashem in a world where there's nothing other than the Rotzon Hashem. If Hashem created the world, Yesh Me'ayim, that means everything in the world is Rotzon Hashem. There's nothing in the world that's not Rotzon Hashem. Yet Bechira allows you to go against the Rotzon Hashem and still stay in the world. Be'ikaron, by definition, if you would do something against the Rotzon Hashem, you should cease to exist. Because there's nothing in the world that's not Rotzon Hashem. So if you can do something that's not Rotzon Hashem, you shouldn't be able to exist. The miracle of Bechira is you can go against the Rotzon Hashem and continue to exist. That's a miracle. We don't understand it. You understood what I just said? You understand Din and Rachamim? You want to explain to me? No, you said Din and Rachamim. You want to explain to me what's Din and Rachamim? Because I don't know. And I heard an Adam Godel tell me you can never know. You can never understand Din v'Rachamim. Because Din and Rachamim are mutually exclusive. You can't have Din working with Rachamim. And Rachamim says, no, you've got tops. You don't understand that. You don't understand that. If that's what you mean by Bechira, that there's something in the world you can't understand, right, there's another thing you can't understand. That's what you mean by the Din v'Rachamim. I'm a couple. Not sure what we gain by that, but I'm a kabbal. Then you're correct. But we're learning Bechira, not Din V'Racham. Don't know what we gain by the Dimyon, but the Dimyon, if that's the Dimyon, correct, the setup. That's the koyach of Bechira. The Cheta Egel was Rotzon Hashem or not. The Chayrut wasn't the Rotzon Hashem. So how did they manage to do it, Moshe Rabbeinu said, and still exist? That's the koyach of Bechira. The Rotzon Hashem is to go against the Rotzon of Hashem. The Rotzon Hashem is to do an Aveira. How do you come to that? You've been reading. No, I'm not going to mention the name of the book, but there's a book that says that. There's a book that's on most people's shelves today that is Tfira Gomel and will make you into a Koifer. And everybody reads it and everybody says the author is a big Talmud Chacham and a big Tzaddik. I have from the Goel Yisrael that it's not like. But there is such a book out there that says that. that if you do an aveira, that was the Rotzen Hashem, and therefore that's all good, and you never have to do tshuva because ultimately it was the Rotzen Hashem. My Shulchan Aruch says different. That's based on a very incorrect understanding of an Arizal, yeah, which we'll deal with in the last chapter of this Sefer. The last chapter of this Sefer is called Hanhogas HaMishpat V'Hanhogas HaYichud. Ring a bell, Baruch. Ring a bell, Eli. Anybody else here? You were here for it. Hanhogas HaMishpat V'Hanhogas HaYichud. That's how we'll deal with that later. We'll understand how to understand that Arizal that seems to be saying that Adam HaRishon, what he did was really the Rotzen Hashem. You have to understand what that means because we know it wasn't the Rotzen Hashem. I have a Shulchan Aruch. You eat chazer, Hashem wanted you to eat chazer, so why didn't tell you not to? You have a problem with that, no? Fine, so that has to be understood. But there are svarim out there, books, not svarim. There are books out there that, with an incorrect understanding of that Arizal, make that incorrect conclusion. And that leads to many problems. For example, you'll become one of those people that can't do tshuva because you didn't know you did anything wrong because you thought when you did the surveyor, that's chayv koros, you were doing the lot to the ship. Bit of a mistake, no? You see the problem. So we can't say that the Chet HaEgel was the Rotzen Hashem. We're still paying the price, a terrible, bitter price for that aveira. Hashem wanted it, why is he whipping us for doing it? You ask your kid to wash the car and he washes the car. So you beat him for the rest of his life for washing your car? I don't know who your Hashem is, but that doesn't make sense to me, does it?
I'm Ravinu, when I give you a against Hashem, when he brought his son to the Kesitzchak.
He went to Hashem, told him to do
Hashem,
it.
Hashem, you said that you'll have children through Yitzchak.
Hashem told you, take Yitzchak up to the mountain and kill him. So he did what Hashem told him to do.
But at the same time, we learned, right? That same time, Hashem promised that Yitzchak would have children, which have Yaakov.
That's Hashem's problem. Hashem will have to work that out. How Hashem will do that's not my problem. Hashem tells me to do something. I have a tzivui right from Hashem. I do it. Hashem comes and tells you, jump off a mountain. But it says you know that kill yourself. Hashem says jump off a mountain. You jump off a mountain because that's the tzivoy Hashem and that's the Rotzen Hashem. You have a problem. You don't understand the stira. What's that going to do with you? That was Avraham Avinu said. So I don't understand the stira. Hashem told me to take Yitzchak. I take Yitzchak.
We did explain that. That was kivyochol against Hashem's Rotzen. That's we explained it. Because Sarachad, isn't that what we said?
I don't know what you're talking about. Let's go see what we said and understand it properly. I'm saying you may be quoting it loosely and getting into trouble. That happens also. Let's see. We know that the Rotzen Hashem. No, you're talking about something else. You're talking about an Issoin that Avraham Avinu had. That's not our problem. Avraham Avinu had an Issoin because he knew that the Rotzen Hashem was that Yitzhak should live. How did he know that? Because Avraham Avinu understood the Rotzen Hashem internally. That's how he was able to work out the whole Torah. And now Hashem comes and tells him, kill Yitzchok. And he knows that that's not the Rotzen Hashem, but he does it anyway because Hashem told him to do it. There's a sugya chel gamer. That's what you're referring to. Yeah. Yahweh Hashem comes along and says, don't kill Yitzchok, and you kill him, and you say, I did the Rotzen Hashem. That's what we're talking about. Is it such difficult to understand how people come to those conclusions? But if you learn that result wrong, you'll come to that conclusion as well. Very easy to make that mistake. To write about it afterwards, that's the mistake.
No, it's very easy.
We'll see. Well, it's not so easy. There's Shulchan Aruch, and we live by Shulchan Aruch. How can go against Shulchan Aruch be the Rotzen Hashem? That you have to live with, first of all. Why do I have to do tshuva if I was doing the Rotzen Hashem? I have to clap al chay for doing the Rotzen Hashem. I'm getting punished because I did the Rotzen Hashem. Then I said it doesn't make sense. Okay. Fine. So how can you make such a mistake? Because the Arizal says what he said. We'll get there. It's at the end of the Sefer because we first have to get to anything else before we get there. You can look ahead and cheat and go ahead and read into the book before you read the first book, part of the book, which was I always do, which is the Jewish way of doing things. You first go to the end of the book. Okay, fine. Can we get back to our subject now? Okay. Moshe Rabbeinu saw from the Chet HaEgel how far Bechira Chofshi can go, and you have to think about this deeply. Moshe Rabbeinu understood that I can use my Bechira to go fight against Hashem to get the Torah. Hashem wants to take the Torah away from me now. He doesn't want me to get the Torah. He's trying to take the Luchos away. I can use my Bechira to fight against Hashem, to Makabel Issa Torah, and we'll explain what that means as we go on. And you'll see this has something to do with you today now as well. This is not just some historical event that happened once and Moshe Rabbeinu did what he did. We're involved in this struggle day in and day out. Mikan gam she'av Shav gam Avram Avinu alav shalom is koichoi lamoid mit kol ha'olam likro b'shem Hashem. Avram Avinu used this koichos to stand against the entire world and call out in the name of Hashem. Nimrod is a fascinating creature, the epitome of all evil in the world, the biggest Rosh that ever lived. And what was his title? Yodaya es Riboyna, Yodaya. He knew his creator, he knew his master. He knew Hashem. And he went to fight against Hashem. That's Bechira. That's how far Bechira can take you. He saw Nimrod in an entire world to be treasonous against Hashem. Avraham Avinu understood from Nimrod. Nimrod was his rebbe in this. That a person has bechira, mamash. Mamash. There's nothing stopping him. Mamash. Being moired by Hashem, umikanu hisik shebevada efshel and itself koyach ze, gam kedai limroid bekola oilam umafasem esaimuna bishne kol boy oilam. And Avraham Avinu understood he has bechira and he can use it differently. How differently? To bring the entire world back to Hashem. As Rav Shach once said to Rav Noach Weinberg, if one man can kill 6 million Jews, then one man can makarev 6 million Jews. You see the koyach of one person, then you see the koyach of one person. Now you go use the koyach to do what you're cut out to do. Hitler was cut out to kill 6 million Jews, Yimach Shmoy. So one man can kill 6 million Jews. You see that? So I'm just one guy. Yes, I'm a koyach, 6 million Jews. That's the limudia. Nimrod's using his Bechira to get the entire world to rebel against Hashem. No, I'll use my Bechira to be Mamlich Hesach Kodesh Baruch Hu on the whole world. You see the Dimyon? The Limud? Okay. But Ozus u'b'chutzpah, Tomen Koya Chiyuvi. Within this Ozus and Chutzpah, what you asked earlier, there lurks a positive aspect. When you use it for Kedusha, for that koyach, you can walk with Hashem with all your strength, without getting distracted by what people say and think and what's going on in the world. You need a bit of chutzpah to be a frum Jew today. He's in the areas where he's chofesh, not every area you have bechira, but in the areas where you have bechira, and our job is to make ourselves more and more barbe bechira, to stretch our arena where we have bechira, that's part of our job. But nothing of what's going on in the world can limit you. Gzeirei, shmadis, inuyim, nothing in the world can stop a person from being connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu under all conditions. We started the Sefer by asking, is there a thing called unconditional love? Is there a thing called unconditional simcha? We're now saying that there's a thing called unconditional bechira. That's what bechira means. It's unencumbered. There's nothing preventing you in the area where you have bechira. Nothing. That's what it means. HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to fight against Kiviyochol the Kiyum HaTorah. Hashem rotzu litzu matzav. Hashem was creating an environment. Even if you would set up a situation where Kamiyoko wants to take away the Torah from us, we have the power within us. That Bechira power, that power of Ishtoi Kegufoi, Neichelit Negedlo, Neichelakaches is a Torah Mimeni Bekoyach, Behutisha Beyadeinu. I can go take the Torah from Hashem. There are days where Hashem seems to say to you, you know what? I'm taking your Torah away from you. You're not going to learn today. You're going to try, you're going to open your Gemara, and nothing's happening. Thick as a brick. It's not going in. You don't understand what's going on. There's a noise. Somebody wants the air conditioner on and you're freezing cold. You want it switched off. There's a million distractions. It's Hashem fighting to take your Torah away from you. Fight back. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu taught. You fight back. Gavi yada shel Moshe. Of course that's what he wants. That's why he set up the situation. He wants you to use your Bechira to fight for your Torah. Or you can just say, well, I'm having a bad day, I'm going home. Sometimes you have to do that also, by the way. You have to use your discretion. We're not talking about that. You fight for your Torah. Sometimes it doesn't look like it's Hashem. Sometimes it's your next door neighbor. Sometimes it's somebody else. Sometimes it's your chavrusa who just wants to chat and chat and chat. No, I have the Bechira to fight for my Torah. You have to know when and how and where. I had a situation today where I'm fighting for my Torah. I went to ask the Rav. He said, so you won't give shir today. Go do what you have to do, because that's what you have to do. I said, yeah, I asked the Rav. The Rav told me, close your Gemara. Go do what you have to do. I said, Gemashu Acher. I was ready to fight for my Torah. You have to know when to fight. That's why you have to have a Rav. Because I would have fought for my Torah and made a mistake and done the wrong thing. Fine. You have to know. But the vort, yeah, the yesodia is, and don't apply this too much on your own. Because you can cause havoc in your life. You're going to wipe out your family, your kids by fighting for your Torah. The bottom line is, yeah, is that's what we learn from this Gemara, this Yerushalmi. The Iker message is that you have Bechira, even against the Kodesh Bogim. Not against his Torah. The Rots and Hashem, you have to keep the Rots and Hashem. But Hashem sets up situations to test us. And in those moments, with Ozus and Chutzpah, the Toiv, the Shem Shemaim, Ozus and Chutzpah, person can go, can reach enormous hearts. Lord, worry, may the Noicha Lavin, Gamma do a lacha amavak, the Kabbal is a lucha, is a lacha, Shuramna, Metzliach, the Kabbal, Hichlik, Moshe Rabbein, Lushbotam. So now we just have to understand, after that whole battle that you had, Moshe Rabbeinu, you understood all this. And you went and had a major battle with Hashem, and you got the luchos. So why'd you break it? You got what you wanted. You fought this terrible war with Hashem. You eventually started learning, and then you threw your Gemara out the window. It's strange, no? Not just did he break them, but Hashem says, ha, well done. That's it. What's going on here? We'll have to give a share here one day on Hilchos Beis HaKnesses. You know how many Isidorises you can be over just sitting in a Beis HaKnesses? Rachmana Litzlan. What are you allowed to talk about in the Beis Midrash? What is allowed to come out of your mouth when you're sitting in the Beis Midrash? There's a whole Shulchan Aruch on what you're allowed to speak about in the Beis Midrash. It's not a one word. We learned, remember in Hilchus Tfilah, how many Isurim you can be over when your phone rings in a basement. How many Isurim devices you can be over when your phone rings in a basement midrash? You just have to become a little bit aware. Anyway. Ala luchos harishonim neema. Well, you chose a great time to come back, eh? Oh my goodness. Straight into the marsh shore. I don't know how you're going to, anyway, we'll see. I need to speak to you for 2 minutes after the ship. Don't run away. Alaluchos harishonim neema. Vahalachas maase elokim haimo. Vamiktav miktav elokim hu. Chorus ala lachos. Why am I calling them lachos, not luchos? Because if you see the way they're written in the pasuk, there's a vav missing. Why is there a vav missing? There were two luchos. One was benam lechaveira, one was benam lemachim. Why does it say luchos? It says lachos, not luchos. Lachos in the singular. Because I'll tell you to tell you lo zu gedoyle mizu, ve lo zu gedoyle mizu. Some people tell you, no, the ikki is just the ben mochaveirus, whatever you mean. Others will tell you, you ought to be frum. What about treading on people's toes to be frum? Zegamba said. They're both wrong. But on the mock melam chaveiro are exactly the same. They're all the same. How do I know? Because it says lachois. Maise elokim. Why do you keep Shabbos? Because Hashem said so. Why don't you tread on your neighbor's toes? Because Hashem said so. It's the same thing. So why are they one luchos? That we can discuss another time. Interesting question. Once you have to change the way you write luchos in the Torah to tell you that they're exactly the same. So write one luchos. One lachos. Why do you have luchos? And then split them to confuse us. Okay, but anyway, that's why it says lachos. So who made the lachos? Hashem who shaposa lesa luchos, v'gam haktav naisi v'dei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, m'ashayin ken v'luchos shnias, shepisloi naasa al yedei Moshe. Big difference between the first luchos and the second luchos. The first luchos, who made them? Made in Shamayim. Artist, Hashem himself. He was the sculptor and the engraver. Who made the second luchos? Moshe. Alaluchos harishonim, Nema says Chazal, sorry, Amru Chazal, Ilmalalo nishtabru luchos harishonos. Had the first luchos not been broken, listen to what we would have had. Lo nishtochecha Torah miYisrael. You would never forget anything you learned. Everything you learned, you'd remember forever. That's how our Torah looks today. We tend to forget a lot what we learn, yeah? And it's scary because we manage to remember everything else. But the Torah we learn, we tend to forget. You know why? Because Moshe broke the luchos. No nation would have had any rulership over Klal Yisrael. Because the luchos were made by Hashem. You have understood the Torah crystal clear. You wouldn't need art scroll. You wouldn't need masiftas. Everything you learned would be crystal clear without any confusion. Sounds good, smart. No one today. Moshe Rabbeinu's Torah, together with all the Torah that was ever learned by all those Naviim, it's like a dog lapping at the sea. Nobody has that clarity. No one. Meaning, Luchos Sheni, we don't have that clarity and we tend to forget. We think about Reb Chaim Kanievsky, for example. Yeah? Reb Chaim Kanievsky would tell you himself that he was in Luchos Sheni. There are many psakim from a revelation where he says, I don't know. You don't know. You know the whole Torah. The whole Torah, are you mad? You know how big the whole Torah is? As big as a ship. No, we're talking about it. That's what we see, and that's what we relate to. We respect that. Wow, Rabbi Kiva Eger. Oh, Rava, Abaya, Rabbi Akiva, Dovid HaMelech, Shlomo HaMelech. Yeah, like a dog standing at the sea, lapping at the edge of the sea. That's how much they told the world. There's this big, big sea, and how much did they have? A cup of it. Shem's big. Anyway, but that would have been Luchos Sheni. Okay, let's stop here because anyway, we've lost the momentum here. Start again tomorrow. You guys.